Okay, so I'm under the next group, and I'm in the if statement one that's called if test, I believe. Project if test. So if I click on a button is what I usually do when I want to see the code. I just click on whatever button is there. So, I have just a variety of if statements in this program. I started out and I wanted to have a variable that could be used by all or any of the procedures. So I put it up here, and it then becomes a global variable. Okay, so that's global, which means it's available to any of the procedures. This one down here is local. These are local. So no other procedure can use those. They are just local to this particular subroutine, and the others can't use them. Okay, so in this particular example, I not only told what type it was, I gave them an initial value. And in JavaScript, you just give the initial value, you don't tell the type. Okay, but here in Visual Basic, I tell the type. So all of these I happen to make integer. Okay. If you don't make it a type, then it will assume a default type. So lots of times it's a good idea to pick a type, especially if you're doing mathematics. So, on the first one, I just said work difference, and I want to put up work difference. And it is a global variable, so I can use it here. And if I run this, okay, so I'm going to put in the branch is the Boston branch. The department is Department 1-2. The budget is $6,000. What I've spent is $3,400. And I've committed another $1,200. Okay, so I've actually got a budget of $6,000. I've spent $3,400 of it. And I've committed to another $1,200. So if I click on the calculate button, okay, this button is button calculate, and if I click on that button, it's going to do the calculation that I asked it to do. So I'm asking it to add spent and committed, and then subtract that from the budget amount so that I know what's left for me to spend. So I'm adding the spent and the committed. And since I'm adding, I have to put something in there. This time I use val. You can also have C-I-N-T if it's an integer, and C-D-E-C if it's a decimal. Okay? So I use val, which is kind of the general one. And when I click on the calculate button, it comes back and tells me 1,400. And then it takes it away. Okay, so that's the right math. If I add 34 and 12, that's 46. And 46,000 from 6,000 gives me 14,000 left. Okay, so I did the calculating, came out with it, and it was able to see the global variable that I defined up at the top. Because I didn't define work diff in the procedure, I defined it up at the top. Okay. So now I've got that I'm taking things in on the next routine, button calc. I'm taking things in and putting them in work areas. Something you don't have to do, but it makes them into numbers. So I'm taking them in, putting them in, and then doing the calculation. So on this one, I just did it very step by step. Okay? I took in the budget and I stored it here. I took in the spent and stored it there. Committed, stored it. Then I said, from budget. And I added that I'd already spent, and work committed. So those are the total of work from budget. Now notice I didn't put the val in there. It would have been fine to put the val in. But I had already moved those to work areas that were defined as integers. So I'd make that into a number by moving them to a work area defined as a number. Things coming in on the form are text. But when I moved it, it defined them as an integer. When I moved them to a field that was defined as something that holds integers, it made them into an integer. Okay? So I made it into the integer, and then I said, okay, now I'm doing a calculation of taking the budget and subtracting the sum of those two, and that gives me the amount left. So if I hit the calculate, I come out with the 4,600. Okay, because the 4,600 I put in this text box, and then the result of the subtraction I put in that text box. So I have them in the two text boxes. So that's what I did in the calculate. Okay, I beat it to death, basically. I overdid. It was a lot easier on the first one where I just wrote two lines and came up with it. Okay, then the next one, if I scroll down, the next two are buttons that I can click to get it to do these routines. And the first one I called button and either, and the second one I called button compound. A, B, C. So I've got names for those here. This one is called button and either, and this one is called button compound A, B, C. Okay, so those are the names. So when I put those buttons on the form, when I double-clicked on those buttons, it brought up the area where I could put in the code. Okay? So now I've got a work area called work total equals zero. And I didn't give it a type. I usually do. I think it's better to, but I want to show you that you don't actually have to. This is local here. And what I'm doing is I'm saying take the spent and the committed and add them together to make work total. Then I said, okay, now I want to test. If the text branch is equal to Boston, and it is, and if it is, then I'm asking about the budget. Is it greater than 5,000? It is. And so I'm going to type out that it meets the criteria. If it's not greater than 5,000, then I have another calculation I could do. And that is the work total greater than the budget divided by 2? And if that is true, then it meets the criteria. Otherwise, it doesn't. Okay? So I've got Boston here, and I've got greater than 5,000. So when I click, if I can get my mouse to do that, it comes back and says meets criteria. Okay. So, if I look at the flowchart for this, I'm starting out by saying, okay, is it Boston? Okay. And if it's Boston, Then I want to ask, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if it is, then I want to say it meets the criteria. Okay? And that's what I actually had here was Boston budget greater than 5,000, so it met the criteria. Now, if it is Boston, but the budget is not greater than 5,000, I can take this else. And so my else is going to be the no there. And I can ask, is work total greater than the budget divided by 2? Okay? So this lets me do a calculation in the if statement. So I'm saying there, is work total, which is the sum of spent and committed, is work total greater than the budget divided by 2? Okay? So, is work total greater than budget divided by 2? And if it is, then it meets the criteria. I couldn't get this beautiful combination of yellow and blue, green and blue, if I tried, but somehow it just likes to do that sometimes, only with those two colors. Okay, so if it doesn't meet that criteria, I run out of chances, and so I will have does not meet. And I have now closed up that bottom decision. Okay? And that close up of the bottom decision is that end if right there. Now there's another end if right beneath it. And that end if is closing up this decision, the budget greater than 5,000 decision. Okay? And then there is one more thing, but I haven't really done anything with that yet. And that is this, which does not meet. Okay. And you can see how nicely it lines up the ifs and the elses for you, so that you know what it goes with. And then there's an end if after that, and that end if is right there. So that is my flowchart for this particular set of if statements. Questions? Does that make sense? Now, the way this works is this, if you look at this, the no's both get a not meet, and the yes's both get a meets. So I've got the same criteria, the same thing, the same results. And so that looks at like I can do a compound. And so the next one down here is the compound, where I said, if the branch equals Boston, and either of these, so I have to put those in parentheses, and either of those, and the either are, either the budget is greater than 5,000, or the total is greater than the budget divided by 2. And if those are true, then it meets the criteria. Otherwise, it doesn't meet. So essentially, that's two ways of writing the same thing. I guarantee you your money back that there are going to be things on the final that look for that. This has to be true, and either of these. Because it seems to be the thing that drives people crazy. Okay, so one thing has to be true. This has to be true, and either of those, okay? This isn't either. Either of these. So one thing had to be true in either of those. And if you're writing a compound, that means the yeses have to be the same and the noes have to be the same. And you have to put parentheses around the things that are the either. Because if I don't put parentheses around, then it says, okay, Boston and budget greater than 5,000, or just this. Okay, or just this, because ands get resolved before ors. And so if I don't put the parentheses, the two things on each side of the and get put together, and the other stands alone. Well, we made it to double digits.
I know we would.
Barely. Okay, questions? Depends on which one I leave blank. So let's try it. Okay, so let's run this again. So I'm putting in Boston for now. I'm leaving department blank. Going to put in the same numbers I had. And I ask it to calculate. It comes up with the same things. And it has no problem with it. Now, the obvious reason for this one is I never tested department. Okay, so since I never tested department, it's not a problem. Okay, so now let's go back and take out budget. Okay, and say calculate, and it came up with an error. Okay, so if it needs the data in the field, then it comes up with the error.
So what? I said I didn't know that was normal enough, because I tried to do it.
It depends on whether you need it or not, and it also tends to depend. Okay, so if we start this again, and this time I just put in 6,000 or 600 now. Okay, and I leave that, and I hit calculate, and then I hit this one, and those are okay. Then I hit this one, and it gives me a does not meet criteria. So it doesn't get as touchy when I didn't fill in the branch, which is Boston, because down here it says if branch equals Boston, blank is a text field, just like Boston is a text field. So it tends to be a problem with numeric fields.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is okay and just comes up with does not meet criteria, which we know it doesn't because it had to be Boston. So it analyzed it correctly. Okay, but when we put it in with the numeric, then it was told, I was telling it to do a calculation. So, let's see. If I come down here and I put in Boston and I take out budget, And I want to look at the bottom one here. Okay. So it then came back and said it didn't like that, that I was taking out of the numeric. It's very nice in that it gives you a error messages and tells you what lines the errors are on, which is a very nice thing. And, you know, comes back and at least tells you where the line is. Sometimes it doesn't catch it till the line beneath, so you always want to look up one line, because sometimes it's a continuation of what was happening up above. So that is a little bit more look at if statements. And I'm going to close this solution, and I'm going to go to arrays. So I want to open a project or solution, and I'm going to open arrays. Okay, we talked a little bit about array in JavaScript, and I'm going to go back to it. In this case, I have set up an array called department name, and I put a 5 in there to indicate that the last one was 5, there were 5 elements there. But I'm mainly indicating that 5 is the maximum index that I can use. There's actually a department name 0. I just decided to ignore that because I'm not using department name 0. Okay. So the 5, it used to be that they wanted you to put the length, the total there. And then it became more the usable number, and the number goes up to 5. So what I've got there is I want to be able to come in and use a pointer to get one of these things. So I want to come in with a department number. My department numbers run 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I want to come in with a department number and use that as a pointer to get the department name. Now, one way I could have done that is write a series of if statements. If department number equals 1, move girls. If department number equals 2, move boys. If department number is 3, etc. But another way of doing that is to set up an array. And what an array is I say each one of these is going to be called department name. Now, you know enough about programming at this point to know that you can't give two things the same name. Okay, because it gets confused. If you call two fields by the same name, it's going to crash on you because it doesn't know which one you're talking about. So what we can do is put a index or a subscript on this, which tells that this is the one I want. I want the one that is defined as department name 1, and that's going to be girls. And then I will have another thing called department name, but I will now have a 2 after it, and that's going to be called boys. And by doing that, I have made them unique. They weren't unique because they were called department name, but they're now unique because I have a number after them, and the number tells is it department 1 or department 2, department name 1 or department name 2. So that makes it unique. That number that is in there is called an index, or it might be called a pointer, or it might be called a subscript. Index is the name that's used the most often. but it can be called any of those three. So now everyone is unique because it has an index or pointer that makes it different from the other one. So they are all unique. But the nice thing is that now when I come down here, I can use it very effectively. So I come down below and it says get name. Okay? So I want to get the name. So therefore, if I run this, and I put a 2 in there, and I click on get name, it gets boys. Okay. And if I put a 1 in there as department number, and I click on get name, it gets girls. So we went to the array using the department number. The department number tells me which department name I want. So the first thing I have to do is make sure that it is a legitimate department number. So I said, if the value of department number is greater than 0, and it's also less than 6, then it's valid. If it's greater than 0 and less than 6, then it's valid. And if it's valid, then what I do is say, take department name and put the number in parentheses after it, and that will match up here to the array, and I'll take whatever name and put it on the text box there. If I put a number that's not valid in, okay, so if I put 12 there and have get name, it comes back and says invalid department number. It's important that I check for a valid number. If I don't, it's going to crash. Okay? If I try to use the number 12, which is outside the range, or the number 6, which is outside the range, it's going to crash. So here I'm saying, go in and get the department name that the department number is pointing to. So if the department number is a 1, then I get girls and I put that out on the form. If it's a 2, I get boys and I put that out on the form. Questions? Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's one vote. Anybody else think it makes sense? I'm looking for at least 2 votes.
Makes sense.
Thank you. Now, for everyone who isn't sure whether it makes sense or not, do you have any questions? Okay, then what I'm going to do is I am going to go over to JavaScript. And in JavaScript, I have a department array here. Okay? So if you go over down to JavaScript and click on department array, that gives me a program that deals with arrays in JavaScript. So in JavaScript, what I do when I do this is I put out department array. The new array is 4 characters in length. I included the 0 here to give myself an error message, and I could have done that in the other one. But instead of including the 0, I did the if statement that said it had to be greater than 0. And so a 0 wouldn't be happening. So I define, and this time I called it department array 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I put it in there. And then I said down here, if department number is less than 5, do a document write to put it out. Otherwise, do a document write that said invalid department number. Okay. So what I want you to do now is take this JavaScript that I did right here and turn it into Visual Basic. Okay, so write this same program in Visual Basic. Okay. So take this program the way I have it set up here and go over and write it in Visual Basic. So go into Visual Basic and write a program that basically handles this.
Because he usually works for Thanksgiving because he's an EMT. But he's so cute.
Yes, he is. And letting you sleep, that's not heard of.
Last, we were worried yesterday because he had a doctor's appointment, so he had to mix up the feeding cycle, so he only got to feed him 1 ounce. At one point, he was eating like 2 ounces every 2 hours. Okay. So we fed him 1 ounce, and then it messed up the entire night.
Oh,
so
yeah?
He was up every hour, and we'd make a 2 ounce bottle. He'd only drink 1 ounce, and then go back to sleep, and then wake back up the next hour. But thankfully, at like midnight, we got him to eat the whole 2 ounces, and he slept all through the night. He didn't wake up until almost 5 o'clock.
Wow.
I know. Got lucky.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, I wasn't worried. That lucky with my kids.
We thought it was going to be a lot worse. A zombie going in here.
Yeah, no, I, I don't remember sleeping through the night when my kids were young. That's a memory that I don't have. And my husband, wonderful parent that he is, could sleep right through the baby screaming in the same room, you know, and I tell the story. I was teaching a class at night, and my husband was home. This was with one of my kids, and she was probably a few months old at that point, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 months. My husband was really tired. He went in to take a nap. The kid had thrown every toy she had on top of him. I was driving down the street coming home, and it was in the summer, and the windows were open, and I could hear her screaming as I drove down the street. He was covered with all of her toys and her blankets and her sheet and everything else, and he was still snoring.
Yeah, no, he's been good. Since he got home, he's pretty much on a 2-hour, 3-hour cycle. But my boyfriend's the one that's home with him pretty much all day, so I'm coming to his school and work and stuff, but he's only taking the time off. So, but he's been really good. So
that's good. That's good. Knock on wood and hope that it continues.
Yeah. We'll see. We're only on day 5. I mean, even being in this world, so.
I work on the JavaScript and I don't have check department.
Pardon me?
I cannot find the check department.
I still didn't hear you.
The check department on the JavaScript?
Yeah.
I cannot find it.
Department array.
Department array.
Is Octane
going to
JavaScript?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Oh, very good.
Department array. So go in and take this and then try writing us the same thing, only now write it in bigger basics. Yes. I would like it bigger than a yes. You can do copy and paste, but. Okay, so you've got it in JavaScript, and now the point here is that essentially all languages have the ability to do this. It's just some languages express it one way, some languages express it another way.
I have a question for the career and mentor paper.
Yep.
Can we do somebody that didn't go through BCC?
Nope.
So how do I find people that have been
through BCC? I've sent you an invitation and gave you a specific person. Send me an email and tell me that. But I know I sent it. I'm sure I sent it out. Yeah.
I was working on the little bit of time earlier, and I got in their state. You expect to be here, but I'm trying to make a deep enough to be state. I don't know if it was wrong.
Does anybody know what day I sent out the mentor, your name of your mentors?
I look, I don't have anything. I have you tell me, I haven't passed any assignment in front of it.
Because it just does. The visual video they have set up.
I can check.
You labeled it mentor.
You sent it to me, so I can check.
No, I was just curious the day, if that would help. What day did you say?
I said you just labeled it mentor. I was just looking at it. One second.
November what?
November
3rd?
Yeah. I got November 2nd, and it's all stuff that we were just talking about going back and forth on.
Okay. You have more than one email? Do I have more than one email for you? Because I just hit whatever.
No, you don't. But I just sent you an email, so I'm going to send it back with the person I'm attached to.
Yep. Okay, so those are the two, and you only have a few things that you have to do that are different.
Yeah.
you got to come over here and do the setup a little bit differently. Okay, has everybody got something? Okay, you're coming over here and you're saying in this case, department name is 4, and I can switch over to calling it department name if I want to. And I need to get this out of running. So I can decide to call it department name over here. Instead of calling it a department array, it doesn't matter what I call it. So I can call it department name. Then I have to add a department name 0. And notice the difference. It used square brackets over in JavaScript. Here it is using regular parentheses. Okay, whereas in JavaScript it had it in square brackets. And this is equal to no department 0. Okay, so I've now got that set up the same way. And then I can leave it this way. Or if I want to write it the way I did over there, I said if department number is less than 5. Okay. Is less than 5. Okay. And now the problem with this, as opposed to the way that I had it originally, is that if somebody put in a negative number, it would be a problem. But I'm making the assumption that nobody's going to put in the department number as a negative. Okay. But the one that I had originally that said greater than 0 and less than 6 would indeed catch a negative number. Because a negative number obviously is not greater than 0. Okay. So I then put out the text name. If you wanted to put up a prompt, you could have put an input to take it in. But I'm going to leave it just that it's in a text box. And so I now have the text box. And I have changed it so that it now includes the department. Okay. So this kind of shows the similarity. And that's not what I wanted. This shows the similarity between the two. So now I'm going to run it. Oh, I didn't change. Sorry about that. I'll go back and change it. Sometime I'll go back and change it. I had called these different things, so they should have been CIOF and all that good stuff that I had over here. So so I had made them B-U-C-I. B-U. C-I-C-U and O-F. And so if I put in a 2, it is giving me CI. Okay. So I put in the 2 and it's giving me CI. So there's the change that I made. Questions? Okay, then the next one that I want to look at in Visual Basic, did I close Visual Basic? No, there it is. So I'm going to close this. And I managed to close Visual Basic because I wasn't paying attention. Okay. So I can now go into my drive and I want to open the one that says write. ProjectWrite.txt. Okay, so the first thing I have to do here is this is writing a file. Okay? Basically, computing involves files, databases, tables. It involves keeping, collecting and keeping data. And if you don't collect and keep data, then probably it's doing a very advanced calculation. But mainly it's got to collect and keep data. So this is the program that will allow me to write a file. Okay, so I start up and I have dim data write as a string. And the string is text ID number dot text concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the name, the content of the name field, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the content of the major field, concatenated with VBCRLF, which is carriage control line feed. That's the code for carriage control line feed, meaning now move down to the next line. Write a line, after you've written the line, move down to the next line. Okay. So, I set up the line that I want to write. And then I actually do the write on this line underneath it. My computer.filesystem.writeAllText, da-da-da-da. This is an old way of doing it. And in fact, I'm going to be interested because I'd forgotten that I had 19. I'm hoping it will run, but it's the old method. There is a much newer method, but it's a much more complicated method and it's not worth getting into in this class with only a couple of weeks to do it. The L drive is not correct. I think mine's on the F drive. Okay, so I'm going to put it on the F drive. And I'm going to write out something that says studentf19.txt. Okay. And I think I may have already got one out there, so I'm going to call it Fall 19. So that's the name of the file that I'm going to create. Okay. So if I start this, and I put in my ID number of 123, we'll say, and the name of Susan Ash, and the major of CI, okay, and then I click on the right, which generates and does what I told it to do up there. So I'm putting in right, and it appears to have done that. So it did the right. And then I cleared all of the text boxes. Text ID number, dot clear, clear name, clear major. So I cleared all of these text boxes. And then text ID number, dot focus, I put the cursor back in ID number so that I'm ready to put something else in. So now I'm going to put in 222. John Doe, Major CI, and I'm clicking right again. Okay, then I'm going to do 333, Linda French, CI, and another right. When I hit exit, it ends. So I'm going to hit exit, and it ends. Okay, so now I want to go down to the F drive. And on my F drive, I should have something called Students Fall 19. So there it is, Students Fall 19. And if I click on that, it opens. Actually, I don't need that. So there is the file that I created. And notice the field. It's got text ID number, there it is, concatenated with a comma, which separates the fields, concatenated with the person's name, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the major. And then this BBCRLF is what causes it to go down to the next line. Okay? So I've now written out a file, and the file is called Student Fall 19. Okay, so I have actually written a file that I can keep and use today, tomorrow, next week, next year, but I've created a file of data. Now, the majority of the time when you're using VB, you use a database and not just a file. But as I said, we're doing this in kind of 2 weeks, so we're not going to get into databases. So there's my file, and now I'm going to close this, and I'm going to open one that reads. Okay, so I'm going to do File, Close Solution, and then I'm going to open a project or solution, and I'm going to go to the one that reads. So I'm going to read project. Okay. And there's my read. Okay, so if I run this, actually I can't run this because I haven't fixed the drive. So I've got to close this and go back and fix the location. And the location of the file is on the F drive. And it's Fall 19. And it is F drive Fall 19. So now if I start it, and I hit read, it now reads my first record. And if I say read again, it reads my second record, and if I say read again, it reads my third record. So it is reading all of my records one at a time. So I was able to save them. Now I can bring them back and read them. And obviously I could have done real processing, not just read and write. I could have done a calculation in the right program and written out the result of a calculation. Okay, I could have taken in paper, hours worked, multiplied, and written that out. Okay. Or when I read it, I could do a calculation too. Okay, so in the read, I first set up the line, and these are copy and paste lines. If you ask me to write this line, there's no way I could write that line. But I can copy and paste beautifully. Okay? So that line says, basically, tells it where the file is located and tells it that the file is going to be called My Reader. So I called it My Reader. And it's got information about how it can read that file. Then when I click on the button Read, it says dim current row is string. Okay, so there was a series of records out here. And the current row is the one that it is currently reading. So it would have been just Linda French would have been the last one that was the current row. The first one that's the current row would have been Susan Ash. So I now say, dim current row is a string. And again, current row is the current row that I'm writing out. And then I said, if not my reader, end of data. So in other words, if it's not hit, end of file. Okay? If it's not hit, end of file. So if it's not hit, end of file, then current row is going to be my reader read files. So it's going to read a file. It's going to take current row 0, which is the first field. So current row 0, this is current row 0. That's current row 0. And the next thing, the name, is current row 1. And the major is current row 2. And so it is moving the 333 up to there. Okay, so that's reading and bringing it up and putting it in text ID number dot text. So it's reading current row 0, the 0 field, the leftmost field, and it is putting it in the text box that is going to hold the ID. And then it's reading the next one and putting it in the text box that's going to hold the name, and then it reads the next one and moves it into the text box that's going to hold the major. Okay? If it's hit end of file, it will put up a message that says end of file. So I'm at end of file now, and if I hit the read again, it says end of file reached. Okay, when I wrote the file, it put a marker in at end of file, its own marker, to tell it that that was the end. It keeps track of things like that for me, so that it can test for end of data, end of file. Okay? So, it then, when it was... when my reader hit end of data, it took the else and wrote out end of file reached. Okay. Now down here, I had to tell it what the delimiter was, and I told it a comma. Because remember when I wrote it, I concatenated with a comma, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with a comma as my separator. So I have to tell it down here what my separator is. Then my separator is a comma. I could have used the separator as a slash. I could have used the separator as some other symbol. But I used a comma. And so I have to tell it that the separator between the different fields on the record between current row 0 and current row 1, the separator is a comma. The delimiter is a comma. Okay. So that's how I can then read this. Okay, what I want you to do in the 10 minutes that we have left is to try taking my program and varying it so that you're taking in something different, and try writing a write and a read. So try, you know, going back to my write program, modifying it a little bit so you write your own, and going back and modifying the read a little so you read it. Okay? So take my example, modify it. So instead of reading ID, name, you could read employee and paper hour and hours worked. And throw in a calculation if you want to do. That would be good. But I want you to experiment with writing a file and reading a file. Just a hint, when you're creating the file, it's a good idea to make the address fairly simple. So if you have a flash drive, I put it on the flash drive or something, because then you can access it easily when you come to the read. Joe will be here tomorrow. You can? Joe will be here tomorrow if people need help. Obviously, he won't be here the rest of the week, but he'll be here tomorrow.
I'm looking on the second book. So I tried to type on it. It was working just fine up until I tried doing the project. So it's the problem where if you take four varied grades, you, it's like 15%, 25%, 20%, 30%. Yeah. So I tried doing that calculation, like before we came out just fine, I put the numbers in, that's great. Then when I hit calculate, it just came out.
Okay. decimals there, and it was having problems multiplying it because there are decimals, and you're using integer. So that's my guess. Val is more forgiving. So it's not a perfect place. Okay, take out the stuff that's not mixing things well. So that's my second guess, is to start right there before the cross and take that out. The stuff over this side, take out the, your final grades. Because it was mixing and matching a test. So now try it.
Right,
so what it was doing was it was giving it a little, there was text, and then you were giving it numbers,
okay.
And it couldn't put them together, right?
Right, okay, so instead of using it, I'm just putting it on the thing. So
that's
it says
right.
Five, that says five.
That's right.
Okay.
And that would work. Please remember there's only 3 more weeks, I think it is. actually 2.5. So there's the rest of this week, next week, and the week after, and then final stat. So you need to start, if you haven't got all the work into me, you need to start doing that. Okay, because we've got the rest of this week and 2 weeks in, and then final stat. So you've got to start getting me the stuff. Okay? Because you've got 2.5 weeks. I will take, as I said, a few things. It's due the last day of classes, but I'll take a few things over that weekend before finals. So I'll take something, but I'm not going to take an entire semester for it. Okay, so you've got basically like 3 weeks to get everything together and you
okay.
I hope the baby sleeps in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I hope so too. I don't really give a chance to do so.
You guys owe me some. Right? You gotta get to me. Because you're very faithful when you come to class, but you're not as faithful when that's in your homework. Okay? So really, you've got Thanksgiving, I'm assuming you're not cooking the turkey.
No.
So therefore, you could work really hard while somebody else cooks the turkey.
Also, the only thing I'm gonna have is one job.
Huh?
One JavaScript assignment, that's the only thing I'm designing. Everything else I should do.
And the very basic editing.
You have the vision, but it's not here.
Right.
So I'm all set with that. Just one.
Yeah, right. It's just two settlements, so I don't know.
It's good.
Somehow. So yeah, I don't think I've got an assistant to you on Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Is there extra help like that?
Yeah, and tomorrow.
That's
Debbie here tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, Joe will be there from 2 to 5 today.
And he'll be here tomorrow.
From 2 to 6.
Okay. I'll be
here tomorrow.
Pardon me?
Yeah, the job description. How many
Four. It was two homeless. There was one in the class that we did, and there was a lot of papers with this.
Oh.
So that makes sense.
Week seven was two.
Right.
So I did the end class.
And we did in class, and then there was a homework. Yep. Are you in the right? Well, it doesn't matter, it's either one. You put the drive, then a colon and a slash, then the name of the file, and close the quotes. And that's all inside the parentheses. And it's exactly the same for both the read and the write.
So you just have to give it a name?
Yes. And you just call it anything you want. Homework. Or whatever you want to call it.
So, when all this was posted, I'm setting that point.
Up the entire folder.
Zip up the whole folder.
Because Visual Basic makes all kinds of stuff. So if I look over here and I look at my VB, which is somewhere around here, and I look at any one of these programs, so there's Reproject. There's all of this stuff inside it.
Okay.
And there's all of this stuff and everything else, and it needs all of that. So you just take the folder, zip up the folder, and send me the folder. Since there's five problems, you're going to be zipping up five things and sending me five things.
Okay, so I just said, could you show me how to do that? Because I just actually... I sent the first two problems I just did to myself, and I just did it completely wrong. So it's my answer, I like it. So I think
there's that. That's the problem, right? And so then you do either a seven zip or do it on and compress
six, the problem. Oh wait, it went to the bottom.
Yeah, no, it frequently does. So you're gonna take the whole project. Yep. So you just take the whole folder and you say, okay, this is First Math, and I just do a zip. So I zip it up. Okay. And add to firstmath.zip is the next thing. And it just makes it and adds it to there.
Okay.
Okay. And here it is down there. You can see the zip on it. So there it is down there.
So when you go to email it, you attach that folder.
That's right. So you just attach that folder.